Genesis chapter 4. The message today, again, is shepherds. I read you passages last week from Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and those passages were about evil shepherds. I want to read you three passages about good shepherds. So Genesis 4, first of all. Verse 1. And the man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And the word keeper of the sheep means he's a shepherd. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. Now chapter 37. Let us read 31 verse, chapter 31 verse, then 37. But we'll take the father first. Genesis 31, 38. This is Jacob speaking. These 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flocks have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep fled from mine eyes. These 20 years I have been in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy 2 daughters, and 6 years for thy flock, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Jacob has been with me, surely now thou hast set me away empty. God hath seen my affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight. Now 37. Verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land of his father's sojournings, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And he was a lad with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife. And Joseph brought the evil report of them unto their father. Now, look at verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream yet again, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him in 7 dreams. What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father kept the saying in his mind. Now, 1 Samuel 17. I would like to read you every passage, but just this one in the Old Testament, chapter 17. Verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. My servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant was keeping his father's sheep. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. My servant smote both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord shall be with thee. Now, let's read briefly in John 10, the three passages concerning the shepherd among these other shepherds. John 10. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine own, and mine own know me, even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. 17. Therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. 1 Peter 5. Verse 1. The elders, therefore, among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, who am also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God that is shepherd them, take care of them. The flock of God which is among you, exercising the oversight, not of constraint, but willingly, according to the will of God, nor yet for filthy lucre, but out of a ready mind, neither is lording it over the charge allotted to you, but making yourselves examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. The last passage we want to read is in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 20. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, with the blood of an everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the great variety of passages that we have read about shepherds. We are thankful, our God, that most of them were good things today, but there were some bad things. We pray that we shall be taught from both the good and the bad. We know who the good shepherd is, but we are so thankful that there are others whom you acknowledge as good shepherds. And as we thought about the evil shepherds last week, mostly, we would think about the good shepherds this week. So help us by thy Spirit, we pray. We pray that our thought concerning these shepherds shall magnify thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we shall see him as he is, that as you look upon him and give your estimate of him, our Father, that your estimate shall be our estimate. So bless us this day, we pray. We look to thee for good. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The Word of God is full of those passages telling us about shepherds. Last week, I read to you about evil shepherds, hirelings, shepherds that were of no worth, and God rebuked them severely. And this is the way that the Lord Jesus described those worthless shepherds. He said, they are thieves and they are robbers. That seems like a very harsh way to describe someone who is supposed to be a man of God, a preacher, a pastor. And yet the Lord Jesus said, if they entered not in by the door, they are thieves and they are robbers. And yet, protocol forbids us for speaking that way about pastors, but it did not prevent the Lord Jesus speaking about them that way. And so we shall say concerning them what the Lord Jesus said concerning them. And if you read again in Jeremiah 23 and in Ezekiel 34, you would read the great severity with which God shall punish these worthless shepherds, what he shall ultimately do with them. But in contrast, did you notice today what God is going to do for those good shepherds, those that are honorable, those that are trustworthy? It speaks about a coming time for the evil shepherds, and it speaks about a coming time for good shepherds. It says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. So there are things that we are doing today that are not an end in themselves, and yet we're rewarded if we have been a blessing to the people of God. And on occasion, people say good things about what I preach. Last week, 3/4 of my congregation went out. But sometimes people say good things and send me letters about how they have been blessed. And so I rejoice. And if what they say is true, then when the chief shepherd appears, I'm going to get a crown of glory. And all of us are shepherds in one degree, because the Lord asked Cain this question, "Where is thy brother Abel?" And Cain said, "I know not, am I my brother's keeper?" In one sense, we are. The Bible says that we are to reprove one another and encourage one another, speak a word in season for one another. And so all of us, to a greater or lesser degree, are shepherds, but some that God has given special gifts are called pastors or shepherds. And these that are good are pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our days, there are some that are exceptional shepherds. And this is what is so remarkable to me, how our brother Bob Adcock, who is 85 years old, until he was held down by sickness, he both preached, he visited, he did everything that a good pastor should do. And so, in a coming day, even though he's not able to do all the same things now, in the coming day, he shall receive the crown of glory. But there are others, and I remember about this shepherd. He had a large congregation, and someone walked by the front of his church building, and he was sitting on the steps smoking a cigarette, way overweight, and someone said, "Why are you doing that?" He said, "Well, it really doesn't matter." And so he didn't care about his sheep, and he didn't care about himself. And the opposite is from the examples I read to you in the Old Testament. I'm so glad that God has good examples to bring before us, because I read of the evil shepherds and I'm afraid when I come in my life and say, "Oh God, could I be accused of any of the shortcomings that you speak about these evil shepherds?" But at the same time, I'm glad that God has given us examples of other shepherds that are good shepherds, and listen to them. The good shepherds are Abel and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and David. I'll tell you a little bit, God willing, about all of these. And all of these men, listen again, Abel and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and David, all of these are shepherds. But think for a moment. Shepherds, you say, "Why, I remember that Moses was that great prophet of God that led Israel out of Egypt." Yes, but first he was a shepherd. "Why, I remember David being king of Israel." Yes, but first he was a shepherd. You say, "Well, all of these men that rose to the heights, at one time they were shepherds." And the answer is yes. Isn't that a remarkable thing? God said, "I took thee from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be king, leader, the one to care for my people." Because God looks at what you do in your secular work, and then he's able to tell whether you will be of any worth in your spiritual work. Because I remember when I used to work with those in secular occupations, when there was great work to be done, at times they would go and hide where they couldn't be seen, and they would smoke a cigarette. And I, in my simplicity, would go and do all of the heavy work, but they knew how to get out of it. But they were getting paid the same as I was, but that was their nature. And the Lord Jesus speaks about such people as hirelings. It says they behave the way they do because they are hirelings. But what God does is look at these individuals and the ones that are unworthy. He wouldn't have them to be his shepherds. He doesn't want them to care for his flock. But he looks at a man like David, and he says, he is worthy. And he looks at a man like Moses, and he says, he is worthy. And that is what is so delightful. And Jacob, with all his shortcomings, is the shepherd that is incomparable in the Old Testament. But let me tell you a little bit about them for this reason. Why do I have to tell you about so many shepherds that are good? Because it takes the qualities, the excellences, the virtues that we find in each one to give us a full description of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. Notice, I read to you in Hebrews, that great shepherd of the sheep. Consider how great this man was. How great is the Lord Jesus? He's this great. That God has to pick out no less than six, and I could have searched perhaps and found more, but six prominent individuals. And God said, these are good shepherds. And not all the virtues were found in one, but it took the accumulation of all their excellent qualities to display to our eyes the full virtues and excellences found in the Lord Jesus. And what little bit I want to tell you about each one, you find in full in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, think of Abel, the first shepherd that God tells us about in the Bible. He had a brother named Cain. He was a gardener. It was an honorable occupation. Some people are criticizing him for being a gardener. Why, the first man God created was a gardener. He put him in Eden and he said, now, you take care of this garden. You watch it. You keep it. You take care of it. You are a gardener. And so do not criticize Cain for being a gardener. God made the first man a gardener. But when God brought the animals to Adam to name, then there were animals that were to be taken care of as well. And so Abel was a keeper of sheep. The first shepherd in the Bible was Abel, and he was a good shepherd. Why? Because I see this. He is called Abel the righteous. The Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 speaks of Abel the righteous. And so he wasn't an evil shepherd. He was a righteous shepherd. And more than that, he was a God-honoring shepherd. Now listen to what the Savior says in John 8. His enemies heard him speak, and he said, you are demon-possessed. The Lord Jesus said, I have not a demon, but I honor my Father. And Abel is set before us as both righteous and one that honored God, his Father. How do I know that Abel was saved? Because it tells us in the first epistle of John that Cain was the evil one and that Abel was a righteous man. He was a godly man. And it says this, that Abel was a keeper of sheep. And when the time came, it said he went and he got the firstlings of his flock and he got the fat thereof. This good, righteous shepherd was also a God-honoring shepherd. And he took the very finest things that God had placed in his care and he gave them back to God. Now, think of the Lord Jesus. Who was more righteous than the Savior? You say no one. And yet God uses types in the Old Testament to show our Savior's righteousness. And Abel is the one that he speaks about first of all. And also, Christ honoring his father, and Abel is the one who honored God, his father. And so, he says, these virtues are found in Abel. But then he doesn't tell us any more about him. And then, next, he tells us about one of the characters of the Old Testament that we could criticize again and again. Whom could you criticize most? Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob? You say Jacob. Why, his very name was the supplanter, one who will take you by the heel, one who will outdo you. I read you the description of Jacob as a shepherd. Tell me anybody in the Old Testament who had better qualifications as a shepherd than Jacob did. You say, I can't think of anyone. This is what he said. His uncle Laban made him serve 7 years for one of his daughters, tricked him into working 7 more years for his other daughter, and then he wanted to keep him longer, and he kept him 6 more years, and all that time, Jacob tells us of what went on. He said, I took care of your cattle. He said, I watched them day and night. In the daytime, the drought consumed me. At night, the frost consumed me. He said, I didn't get any sleep. He said, when animals came and took from your flock, you required it of me, even though I was watching and doing everything in my power to take care of your cattle. I did everything I could. And he said, you required it of me, whether it was my fault or not. He said, and I served you this way for 20 years. Nobody could give that testimony except Jacob. He was a shepherd that was without compare. Now, among that being an excellent shepherd, there was his guile. There was in his heart all of that deception. But still, Laban, the man for whom he worked, could never say, you lost that sheep. Jacob said, I watched him and I did everything in my power to keep him. And yes, I lost that sheep. And since I did lose him, go and take one of my sheep to replace him. And so Laban was one who had this excellent shepherd for 20 years. And finally Jacob says, I've had enough. I'm going home. And God was with him. Remember that. Unless the God of my father Abraham and the fear of my father Isaac had been with me, you would have sent me away empty. But now God was sending him away with everything that Laban had previously owned. And so if you ask, who is the most commendable shepherd in the Old Testament that God tells us the most about? The answer is Jacob. Look at him in one sense, and this is the way he's described, thou worm Jacob. But at the same time, look at him in another sense, and when he's looked at as a shepherd, he is without compare. Now, the next shepherd was Moses. Do you realize that Moses was a shepherd for 40 years? At first, he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And it says that he was taught in all the wisdom, and he was mighty in word and works. He was an exalted, educated man. He would have had a prominent position in Egypt. But his heart went out to his brethren. And because of that, in trying to protect one of his brethren after the flesh that had been unjustly injured, he killed an Egyptian, and it was discovered what he had done. And Pharaoh was seeking to kill him, and he fled. And he came to Jethro. And Jethro gave him one of his daughters. And then for the next 40 years, this high exalted man in Egypt became a lowly shepherd. Now think of that. Here is Moses in Egypt. He is revered. He is exalted. And now, what does he do for the next 40 years? He has to go out and take care of animals. And so, I'm thinking of this. The condescension of Moses. The Moses who was the highest, and he humbled himself and became a lowly shepherd. Now think, in Philippians 2, concerning the Lord Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And think of this. Here is the occupation of a shepherd, a lowly occupation. And the Son of God who came from heaven, what is his occupation going to be? Work with your hands as a carpenter. And so Moses is a picture of Christ, the exalted one, who laid aside that glory and took the humble position. And this is a little bit of what we see in Moses. Now, here is what is so remarkable about Joseph, who also was a shepherd. I could tell you about his older brothers. They were pictures of evil shepherds. The ones I read to you about in Jeremiah 23 and Ezekiel 34, they are pictured in Joseph's older brothers. But Joseph is a good shepherd, and this is what it says about him. It doesn't tell us much about what he did as a shepherd, but it tells us this, that he was keeping sheep with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. Now, how many was he keeping sheep with? Who were the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah? Of course you wouldn't know. Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. Of course I had to look at that before I asked you that question, so I would be sure of the answer. But these were not Jacob's wives like Rachel and Leah, but they were ones that were given to him that he might have more children. And so he was keeping sheep with these four children, his brothers, and they did something evil, and he gave this report to his father. And this is what the Lord Jesus says concerning himself. He said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it that its works are evil. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That the Lord Jesus, as the shepherd, looks at those whom he's come to dwell among, and he says, their works are evil, and they hate me for that reason. And when Joseph went and told those things, the evil deeds of his brothers, they hated him, and the favoritism that Jacob showed to his son Joseph. So think of that when we come to Joseph. Now, what about David? David brings out the courageousness of the shepherd. Who could think of such a thing? We would never have known this about David unless Goliath had challenged the army of Israel. We would never have known all these excellent qualities about Jacob unless Laban had falsely accused him. But when David, the youngest son of Jesse, went to take provisions to his brothers that were in King Saul's army, he saw what was going on. And the whole army of Israel had become cowards because Goliath went forth and said, give me a man and nobody would fight him. And David heard the challenge, and he said, I'm not afraid of him. And so when he gave this report, it was told to King Saul, and King Saul called him and said, you can't fight this man. You are nothing but a youth. And he has been a warrior from his youth. And then David tells things that we never would have known about him. He said, I kept my father's sheep, and when a lion or when a bear came after them and took one of them away, I went after that animal, and I took that animal out of his mouth, the sheep out of his mouth, and I took him by the beard, and I smote him. Who here has that much courage? I think if he took one sheep, I would say, well, I'm lucky he didn't take more, and I would be afraid. And so here is David and his courage, and he's willing to risk his life for the sheep. And that's why I read to you in John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And so you see, you say, why, David then is the courageous shepherd. He's one who is willing to lay down his life to preserve the sheep. Yes, but in all of these things, the types are imperfect for this reason. David was willing to lay down his life, but he was successful in overcoming a lion and a bear and a giant. But the Lord Jesus, who could have overcome them, laid down his life that he might take it again. And so this is what God does. He tells us about evil shepherds, and he tells us about good shepherds, and he tells us about the greatest of those shepherds, which is Christ. Now abide it. Faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest is love. And God tells us about all of these good shepherds in the Old Testament. But having looked at all these, he says, the greatest of all the shepherds is my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's called in Hebrews, that great shepherd of the sheep. If you speak about Melchizedek, how great that man is, for there's one who's greater than Melchizedek. And you look at every great individual that God brings before our eyes, and then all of them are not to compare with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is that great shepherd of the sheep. Why? Because he laid down his life, and he took it again. And he's called the great shepherd of the sheep in Hebrews. But also, he is called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5. What does that mean? If he is the chief shepherd, then there are underlings. There are lesser shepherds. And he gives the example of Christ and all that I've told you today. But then he says, now, you pattern yourself after this chief shepherd that I'm telling you about. And if you do, then when the chief shepherd shall appear, when he's manifested, I will give you the crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so this is what is set before us. Evil shepherds and good shepherds and the great shepherds and the greatest of all the shepherds is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this one whom you bring before our eyes. Our God, you have taken all of the good subjects that served you in the Old Testament to tell us something of Christ. And we are thankful that you told us about him, and then you've shown us in these men just how good a shepherd your Son, the Lord Jesus, was. And so let it smite our hearts, our God. Let us know at times that we do things for selfish reasons. My Son never did something for selfish reasons. And so let us remember the good things about all of these men in the Old Testament, and let their virtues that were virtues of Christ be our virtues as well. Let us be good Christians. Let us be good brothers and sisters in Christ, and let us pattern our lives after the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, we pray. In his name, amen. The meeting is over.